Greetings and salutations. Happy Sunday. All is well. Everyone feels wonderful, don't they? Some of you don't look too good.
It's all an illusion.
You're probably worried about the presidential debates. It's good to be with you once again. People often ask me, can a person become self-realized while living as a householder or living with people of a family that are not inclined this way? Or having relatives, children, whatever, to give you a hard time, think you're crazy because you come here and follow this kind of a teaching. And they're right. Of course, this to me is a very humorous question. Due to the fact that it has nothing to do with self-realization, nothing whatsoever. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what's going on in this world. This is something we have to understand. Self-realization, moksha, liberation, transcends this plane of existence totally and completely. It has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in your life, which may sound strange, but true. Some people may have a horrible life, going through all kinds of physical experiences. Perhaps poverty or lack or limitation or abuse from a spouse. Whatever. This has absolutely nothing to do with self-realization due to the fact that self-realization is your real self. It is your true nature. This is what you are. So why do you have to go find it? Why do you have to make it happen? There's nothing that has to happen. In other words, you do not have to be with a group of enlightened beings to become self-realized. You do not have to be in a monastery, on a mountaintop, in a cave, or anywhere else to become self-realized. Due to the fact that you're already self-realized. You're already free. You're already bright and shining. What you do have to do is to leave everything alone. You have to stop being concerned about person, place, or thing, about who's right or wrong, what's going on in your life as far as your life is concerned. These things have absolutely nothing to do with it. In other words, you may be a thief and be self-realized. It's a very strange understanding, but it's true. To be self-realized, all you have to do is to wake up, no matter what position you're in. The reason why so many people are in negative experiences and not become self-realized is just the fact that they accept their negative experiences. They accept what the senses show them and tell them. They accept the world as it appears, as real. they accept their body, whatever it's going through, to be real. How can you become self-realized if you're doing this? It is up to each one of you to drop the world from your mind. Mentally. Not to make any changes. Some people still believe they make positive changes. They'll be happier. They'll have more of an opportunity to study, to meditate, to think. Again, remember, self-realization has absolutely nothing to do with all of these things. It has nothing to do with meditation, nothing to do with thinking, nothing to do with changing to a positive atmosphere. Why is this? Because the ground upon which I stand is holy ground. That's why. Everything is sacred. Everything is holy. Because everything is God, or consciousness, or absolute reality. If anything were not God, it wouldn't exist. Everything that exists is God. Most of us, when we think of God, we think of only the good things. We think of harmony, peace, love, etc. But in truth, God is everything. God isn't a serial rapist. God isn't a mass murderer. God isn't a person dying of AIDS. It is all God. The only problem which appears is that you see it differently. That's all. It is your identification. It is your perception. It is what you see. This is what matters. That's what counts. So, if you're able to see through appearances and see the reality, how can the appearance hurt you? You are not born to cry. You are not born to have bad experiences in your life. You're not born to have negative conditions in your life, so to speak. You are born to be happy. Yet you allow the conditionings of the world to affect you. You allow your bodily condition to affect you. What the newspapers tell you, what the TV tells you. You respond to these things. This is the only reason that you're not enlightened, so to speak. For you have allowed exterior conditions, external conditions, to make up your mind how things are. Things are things, and that's it. They're not good and not bad. We have been trained from childhood to judge and say this is good, this is bad, this is this and this is that. If we learn to keep quiet, if we learn to shut up, to be still, to stop judging, everything will take care of itself. Everything will take care of itself. All of your needs would be met. Your destiny would be fulfilled. Everything is sacred. Everything is pure awareness. Everything has the Buddha nature. Everything is. But yet you give everything a name. And you label it good or bad. Right and wrong. This is what keeps you back. You have to begin to understand that this whole universe of imagination comes from false imagination. It's an optical illusion. Everything, the good things, the bad things, and stop reacting to this world. I didn't say stop being a part of this world, I just said stop reacting. You can work, you can have a family, you can watch a movie, you can go bowling, you can live your life. But it's your response to these things that determine where you're coming from. It's your reaction to what's going on that determines where you are. When you become angry, when you become upset, because something isn't going your way. This is the only problem you have. This is your problem. You should ask yourself, why do I become angry? Why do I become upset? Why do I think the world has turned a certain way for me to be happy? Why do I believe people have to tell me certain things so I can feel good, be happy, be joyous? Why do certain words affect me? Why do certain conditions affect me? Why do certain people affect me? This is the problem you've been carrying for incarnation after incarnation. This is why the time has to come when you inquire, who am I? Who am I really? Who is this person who's gone through incarnation after incarnation and finds themselves in a mess? Who is this person? Is it me? Am I a person who's like a leaf being blown around by the breeze of time? Finding myself in one time or another time? Being born again over and over again? Going through experiences that people call karmic? Is this what I'm here for? Is this me? Of course not. You are a divine being, a spiritual being. You are a God. There are so many gods, you're one of them. Why not? The Hindu mythology has hundreds and thousands of gods. Christianity has many gods. Judaism has many gods. Every religion in the world has many gods. So why can't you be a god? Make up your mind you're going to be a god. If you don't, then you're something else, aren't you? What are you? What do you believe deep inside about yourself? That you're not worthy? That you're a sinner? Because you made some mistakes in the past? What do you believe about other people? The only thing you can believe about other people is what's in yourself. That's all you can see in other people. You can only see yourself wherever you look. For there's only one self and you are that. You are the one self. Nothing else, nothing more. Consequently, wherever you look, you see yourself. has to make up your mind to drop the past totally and completely, to forget about the future, and live in the eternal now, in the eternal moment, fresh, with spontaneity, peace and love. Why not make up your mind to do this? When you make up your mind to do this, something happens to you. Your mind begins to fade away. The past impression that I've been with you for so long begins to fade away. All of your fears, emotions, anger, sorrows begin to fade away into the nothingness from whence they came. You have only to be aware. To be aware of what? That you are a God. As you think of yourself as a God, that notion begins to expand within you. So you begin to laugh at yourself because you are able to see and perceive that all of the gods that ever existed are you, yourself. They're not within you, they're you. You are those gods. You are Krishna. You are Vishnu, you are Shiva. You are the Christ. You are everybody who's ever lived. It is you. But if you think this way, you have to think also that you are Hitler, you are Mussolini, you are Genghis Khan, you are Napoleon. You can't just think about the good guys. The bad guys existed also. Therefore, you are all of these things. And you are. If it weren't for you, these people would not exist at all. They came out of your mind. You created all these people, all these conditions. Where else would they come from? You are the one that has given life and substance to every condition in this universe. And now personally you are giving life and substance to every condition that you're going through. Whatever it is you're going through, good or bad. You are giving substance and life to this condition. Take a look at your life honestly, truly. See what you believe all day long, what you feel all day long, what you think about all day long. What goes through your mind all day long. Thank. Can't you see now that you are the one that's been holding back your self-realization? The self-realization which you are wants to come forth and let itself be known. Yet you refuse to acknowledge this by believing so strongly in this world and its manifestation. Without recognizing that you have created this world, yourself and your mind, and you're partaking of your creation right now. You refuse to let this go. All you have to do is let it go. The truth will shine all by itself. Why don't you let it go? Because you wish to play games. You wish to play hide and seek with yourself. By hide and seek, I mean that you wish to forget who you really are and take on a new identity life after life. You go through all kinds of experiences. And then you begin to seek for reality, which you are already anyway. You begin to search for it everywhere. This is the game you're playing. You believe you can find reality in a book, in a teacher, in a church or a mosque, or on a mountaintop, or being secluded in a cave. You believe your reality is found this way. So you've covered yourself up with all of these beliefs, with all of these thoughts, with all of these ideas of where your reality is. Somewhere far away from you. And you have to go seek it to find it. Yet in truth, everything has been right here all of the time, just where you are right now. Everything has been with you all of this time. It's never left you. But you've been seeking and searching and looking and arguing and fighting, sticking up for your rights. And here you are. What are you going to do about it? It's up to you. You can vehemently make up your mind that you've had enough of this nonsense. And drop it all. You can do this. You have this freedom. Yes, you can consciously make up your mind that you no longer wish to play the game of hide and seek. You finish playing games. You know who you are. You are the Buddha, the Christ, the Absolute Reality, Nirvana, the Pure Awareness. This is you, right now, this minute, this second. There's nothing else to do. Freedom is yours. Take it. Assimilate it, digest it. Chew it up. Freedom is yours. Total freedom. Not partial freedom. Not freedom only in certain areas. Total freedom. Oh, I know you may tell me, well, if you only looked at my home and see what's going on in my house, see what's going on in my job, in my work, then you'll see why I can't be free. That's such a nonsense. It's foolishness. You are reacting to conditions. That's why you feel this way. Leave everything alone. whatever is going on has absolutely nothing to do with you unless you identify with it. Your family, your friends, your relatives are all with you because of karmic influences. They have to go through their experiences. See this, know this. Therefore, have a great compassion. But leave it alone. People pay to drop dead every minute of the day. And we're concerned about death as if it's not going to happen to us. As long as you feel that you're human, you have to die and you have to be born. And you have to continue this process. So why worry about it? Why be concerned about these things? As soon as you begin to lose your humanhood, things change drastically. What's to the extent that you lose your humanhood, to that extent do you find yourself becoming freer and freer and freer. Things will not change too much in your world, perhaps, but you will see the whole thing totally differently. You will see everything unfolding as it should. You will find everything in its right place, going through those experiences that are necessary for its unfoldment. You will stop arguing with people. Stop judging people. You will speak very little. And you will inquire, who am I? What am I? And what am I going through here? Who's going through anything? And who needs everything? Who needs all this? And you will keep still. You will be still. You will be quiet. Isn't it wonderful when everything is quiet? Especially when I shut up and don't talk anymore. Things become much better. So let's really sit in the silence. When I say sit in the silence, I'm not speaking about human quietness. I mean the silence beyond human quietness. The silence beyond understanding. The silence which is God. The infinite intelligence. Not to sit in that silence. Close your eyes, be still. Put a smile on your face. I am not my affairs. I am not my experiences. I am not this life I appear to be going through. I have absolutely nothing to do with this world, even though I may appear to others to be doing things in this world, working, whatever. I am free from fears. Free from past karma. Free from other people's thoughts. I am that I am. I go deep, deep, deep within the self. That I become the self. Realizing there's only one self. I am touching that place where I've never been before. The ultimate reality. I am touching that place where there are no thoughts, no emotions, no feelings. I am touching that place where there is bliss. Eternal love. I now go deeper beyond all of that. We're even love, ultimate oneness, self-realization, are mere words. I go beyond all words and thoughts. To that very place where there is absolutely nothing. And yet I exist. It is now time to play Stump the Guru. So pass the stumpers.
Dear Robert, how does your sitting in the silence help us?
When I sit in the silence at the prescribed times, and when somebody focuses their attention on me, there's a direct connection. What we call grace is always here and is always available. But the thoughts of the silence cause that grace to become manifest in the person who's thinking of the guru, of the teacher, of God, of the self. Since there's only one self, and that self is you, by thinking of me in the silence, you think of yourself. And since that self is perfect, you automatically have all of your emotions resolved. You have all of your problems resolved, so to speak. Things begin to happen. It's up to you to be sincere when you do this. And try to keep your mind quiet. You don't necessarily have to think of me personally. You may think of your favorite deity if you've got one. You may think of God in the abstract as white light. The whole idea is to become still in the silence. And then you tune into myself, you tune into me. Like a radio set. You turn it down on the radio until it's finely tuned, and you pick up the station that you want. In the same way, when you're sitting in the quietness and the silence, when you're thinking of a deity of some kind, it's all yourself, it's all myself, they're all one. It's all one person, one being. This brings happiness and joy and bliss. For those of you who have not tried this yet, try it, do it. See what happens. Next case.
How is the act of suicide regarded on this path? Since it takes place in Maya, would there be spiritual consequences?
Suicide, of course, is a waste of time. Unless you want to commit suicide and carry on again, bring back the body again. Now, this is not altogether true. It depends on the individual. Depends on many factors. And it's true, it's all Maya. Who commits suicide, who dies, who doesn't die. But unless you believe that first, and you have a consciousness of that, committing suicide will just mean you take birth again, faster. And you begin where you left off. But if you have a high consciousness, then committing suicide doesn't affect you whatsoever. But then again, if you have a high consciousness, why would you want to commit suicide? There'd be nobody to commit suicide, because you realize you don't exist to begin with. So it's an individual proposition. A person will feel that they're in extreme pain, and suicide is the only way out. This is okay. There's really nothing wrong with this. It's not good nor bad. It may give you a rest, but you'll have to come back again, only because of the fact you haven't been enlightened in this life. But then again, there are some people who will only come here for a short period of time to work out certain karmic qualities. Some people get hit by a bus. They get shot, they commit suicide, or something happens, which ends their karma forever. Their karma is finished. What I'm trying to say is every case is different. Every person is different. There isn't one standard law that says this is right and this is wrong. Every being is different. The only point to remember is if you're not enlightened, you have to continue the process. If you're enlightened, you wouldn't care at all about suicide. No suicide, it wouldn't exist for you. It would be beyond that. Therefore, ponder these things. Ask yourself, can suicide really help me? Is this the answer? Will this free me? Perhaps it will, perhaps it wouldn't. It's all individual case, individual proposition. Everybody came to this earth for their own karma, so to speak. So what's advisable for one person is not advisable for another person. That's why if you all want to commit suicide, I'll get out the Kool-Aid. I have a fresh batch in the refrigerator. It's all individual proposition. If anybody's thinking of something like this, see me personally, I will discuss it. Next case.
Some people say Buddhism has become too cerebral and lost its soul. Comment, please.
Buddhism, like Christianity, like Judaism, has become very commercial. But yet, there are real mystical Christians around. There are mystical Buddhists around. The mystical teachings, mystical teachers. The commercial Buddhism has lost its soul, this is true. Well, many people go to Buddhist churches, Buddhist temples, in order to acquire wealth and acquire health and acquire all kinds of material objects. The real Buddhism is not like this. Real Buddhism is sacred. You should question yourself and ask yourself, why do I think it's become so secular, materialistic? Perhaps I have become that way. So I'm attracted to those Buddhists who are not sincere or false themselves. Where do I belong, you should say? What teaching should I follow? Whom should I follow? Ask yourself all the answers that are within you.
Robert, if we are one, why the universe appears with so many forms, entities, etc.?
To whom does the universe appear this way? To the ego, to the mind. We are one beyond the ego, beyond the mind, beyond the appearance. Since you believe that you are a human being, you can't see the total freedom. You see the diversity. You see the many. You see duality. Because you are a human being. You're not developed yet. You're not completely cooked yet. Therefore, there's diversity. But take a dream. In your dream, there's diversity. Many things happen in your dream. But then you wake up and you realize the whole dream of diversity was in the one, you. You were the one dreaming the dream. The whole dream was filled with people, places, and things that seemed so real to you until you woke up and it all came out of you. You're the one. So this is this life. This life is exactly the same way. You see the many. You see diversity everywhere you look. But yet most of you refuse to accept the fact that this is a dream. That's why I see this way. When you accept the fact it's a dream and you dive deep within yourself, then you will become free of this dream also. So dive deep within yourself. Make it happen. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Can a self-realized person still have negative thoughts and do negative actions?
A self-realized person will appear to many people to be different things. It depends on the mission of the teacher. Sometimes the teacher has to do certain things in this world as in the form of a teaching. It may appear to be evil and wrong to many people. This is the reason it is written, judge not yet ye be judged. It is not for us to judge all of these teachers and all of these people. We're so ready to do something like this. We have to learn to leave everybody alone. First know who you are. Then see if a self-realized being does negative things or causes problems in this world. If you do not understand a person, a teacher, or anybody else, why they do things in this world, how they do things. Do not come to any conclusions. Say to yourself, when I become self-realized, I will know the truth. Work on yourself diligently to awaken. Then you will understand what's going on. Therefore, there's no real answer to a question like this at this time. For there are teachers who do many negative things in this world. So-called high teachers, high places, have thousands of followers. They appear to be doing negative things. So again, this is not our business. We have not come here to judge anybody. We've come here to become totally, completely free. When we become free, we'll see everybody else is also free. And we'll realize it's all a dream. Again, work on yourself, dive deep within yourself. Until you get such thoughts out of your mind, who's good and who's bad, who's right and who's wrong. Those questions do not belong in a person practicing sadhana. Drop it all, leave it all alone. Live your life to the fullest. See what you are and change your ways. But judge nobody else.
You have suggested we adore the self. How can we adore something we can't even comprehend, assuming you are not referring to the personal self or I thought?
When people first start practicing Advaita Vedanta, they begin to understand that they are the self just the way they are. It's paradoxical, but you have no body. You are not the body. You are the pure unblemished self, pure consciousness, absolute reality. This is you just the way you are right now, in this moment. That's the catch. You're like that in the moment. Like right now, this is you. Because you're not thinking. You're sitting here quietly, peaceful, without thoughts. Then you are the unblemished self, the ultimate reality. This is you, right now. As soon as you start thinking about it, it goes away, it changes. It's not you any longer. It's your humanhood. So when I say to adore yourself, I'm referring to adoring yourself as God, as the ultimate reality, which is really you. But if you think yourself as a human being with problems, who makes mistakes, you can't adore yourself at all. You condemn yourself, you put yourself down. When you go home this evening, practice this in front of a mirror. Put your arms around yourself and say, I adore you. I adore you. I adore you. You will notice that if you think yourself as a human being, you will not be able to do this at all. Something you will prevent you from doing this because you see yourself as a human being with mistakes, with all kinds of nonsense you've gone through in this life. But if you're able to drop it for a few moments, when you say to yourself, I adore you, I adore you, I adore you, you will see in the mirror light coming out of yourself, bright light emanating out of yourself all over. That's who you love, the light. You are the light of the world. that is yourself, and to that self.
Please explain specific differences between love and attachment. Thank you.
Attachment is something that you hold on to for your own sake, because you believe if you don't have the thing you're attached to, you'll have problems. You can't live without a certain person and a certain thing. Therefore, you're totally attached to this person, place, or thing. Yet, in your sick mind, you call this love. You think this is love. Love is absolute freedom, without any attachment whatsoever. Love gives, it never takes. Love is letting everything alone. Not judging anybody or anything. Allowing it to unfold in its own inimitable way. This is love. Attachment is when you're thinking of your ego. So you make all kinds of rules and regulations in your life with people, how they must behave to you, with objects, things, how they must be possessed by you. And you call this love. In other words, you love somebody or something because he or she or the something is doing whatever you want them to do. It's pleasing you the way you want to be pleased. So you love that person or place or thing. It's giving you happiness. For instance, when you buy a new car, you love that car with all your heart. You show everybody your car, you talk about your car, beautiful drives and nice seats, the wooden paneling you've got inside. But as soon as the car crashes, you've changed your mind. You have a broken car now. The car's been mashed to pieces. Therefore, you no longer love the car the same way you did before. As a matter of fact, you're thinking of trading in the car for a new one. Well, the car's become old. It's no longer as beautiful as it was. We do the same with people. When we love somebody, we say we love them terribly. When we first meet them, then as time passes, they get older, we wish to trade them in for a new model. This was never love, it was attachment. Therefore, love is letting go and loving for its own sake. Attachment is never letting go. I'm loving because it satisfies you. It gives you something. If the something stops, the love stops. That's the difference.
We seek the self. At your stage of development, what is your next unfolding direction? What is the next step in evolution for you? What is the next step after self-realization?
For whom is there a step? For the Ayani. For the Ayani there's no step. There's nothing. There's no place to go. There's nothing to unfold into anymore. It's all gone. It's all finished. It's only when there's an ego or a mind left inside that there's a next step. If everything has been cleaned out completely, totally. The garbage bill has been emptied totally, completely. Where are the steps? There are no steps. There's nothing left. There's those who believe many different things about this teaching. For instance, if you follow Sri Aurobindo, who says the human body can be perfected into a god and its unfoldment is continuous, it never ends. Unfoldment goes onward and onward and onward. The body becomes the Atman. The body becomes spiritualized, but there's always a body involved. But it's been my experience personally that there's no body to involve. There's nothing to achieve. There's no place to go. There's only ultimate oneness. Effortless, choiceless, pure awareness. This is beyond description. Beyond finite understanding. Beyond thoughts and words. So there's only the Aeon that unfolds. In the different stages of consciousness. For the end, there are no stages of consciousness left. All is done. All is finished. There's total freedom.
Isn't it true that for grace to come and give self-realization, that we have to deserve it?
Mm-hmm. More questions? Well, the first one is, no, you don't have to deserve it. Perhaps you earned it in a different life. Somewhere along the line, you have done something to deserve grace. And then it hits you in this life. In my own experience, when I was 14 years old, I never was studying spiritual literature. I was a wild kid running around the place, causing mischief. As kids do. Yet this experience came upon me. I can't say I was picked out specifically for this. And this is the same experience Ramana Maharshi had. Nisargadatta Maharaj, Shankara, many others. So in this life, you do not have to deserve grace. It will just happen to you if it's meant to happen. Being at satsang, there's a special grace. You would not be attracted to a satsang if you didn't have any grace in you, some sort of grace. Because you come here, this is grace already being bestowed upon you. And now you just have to let the grace unfold to a deeper level. And become totally, absolutely free.
As long as I still have some occasional anger or impatience or arrogance or lack unconditional love toward others here and there, doesn't that stop my deserving of the grace of self-realization?
Well, I hate to say this, but the answer is no. Intent doesn't mean that you have license to go out and be mean or have the quality that Mary just read. Because if you do, all you're doing is accruing more karma to yourself. This is a mistake many people make. When they read high spiritual books, they accept an answer that I say, then it doesn't matter what you do, the grace will come anyway if it's supposed to come. Right away, their evil minds start to think, well, I can go rob a bank. I can go bid on people. I can do all kinds of things. It doesn't matter. But it does matter. For again, you will accrue negative karma to you, which you'll have to overcome sooner or later. This is why the whole teaching is very paradoxical. In the same instance, the grace will come if it's supposed to come. It has nothing to do with what you do in this world. Yet at the same time, this world is a karmic world, and what you do to others will come back to you. The saying, what goes around comes around, is true. There are very few who achieve grace when they have these qualities, but it does happen. So again, I tell you, do not use this as license to be mean to people, to be arrogant, saying it doesn't matter, because it does matter. It matters a great deal. Your duty is to develop loving kindness, peace, compassion, joy, and let everything unfold the way it's supposed to.
Don't I have to be a near saint in my thoughts, words, and actions before the self will manifest itself?
We just answered that again. No, you don't. But in most cases, you do. So you figure it out.
You talk about a dark room having a light switch turned on and light eliminating the darkness. But for self-realization, can the person be really dark, and it's underlined, or shouldn't he or she be practically pure in that word, thought, word, and action? Thank you for your reply.
Again, your duty is to rid yourself of dark habits, develop loving kindness, compassion to a people, place, and thing. Act as if grace doesn't exist. You should act to people like you want people to act toward you. There's no question about this. What you give out has to return to you tenfold. But then again, as I mentioned before, illumination has nothing to do with this world whatsoever. Illumination is something that has to do with itself, not with this world. So you can't be illumined if you are an evil person. But this is very few in between. This happens too. So the answer is, do unto others as you have them do unto you. Act as if what you're going to do to somebody else will come right back to you. And if you live this way, you'll know what to do. Everything will take care of itself. We're all finished.